Amesburg Town Council to order. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay, seeing none, that brings us to 3.1, the proposed zoning bylaw amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There are a number of housekeeping zoning matters for council's consideration this evening. These amendments are all processed under Section 34 of the Planning Act. The first amendment for council's consideration is proposed to Section 3 of the general provisions for accessory uses in residential areas by adding a maximum of 100 square meters for all accessory buildings and structures on a property other than the R1A zone, which are generally the more rural areas in town. Currently, Section 3 in the general provisions permits the total of all accessory buildings on a residential lot to be 10% of the lot area. The intent of accessory use regulations is to maintain neighborhood integrity and preserve the existing character of neighborhood by encouraging compatible land uses. Possible negative impacts associated with large accessory buildings in residential areas, including subdivisions, may include structural and aesthetic incompatibility, drainage and stormwater management issues, as well as impacts from a reduction in sunlight due to massing and reduced openness. Administration is recommending that the housekeeping amendment clarify the regulation for the maximum accessory building size of 10% the lot area for rural residential areas zoned R1A, that these areas would still be permitted to build accessory buildings to the 10% lot area, and that the remaining residential areas in town that are zoned R12, R13, as examples, have a maximum restricted size for accessory buildings at 1,076 square feet, which is 100 square meters and 10% of the lot area. The areas that are zoned R1A in town, just to give an idea, include Second Concession North, Texas Road, Front Road North and South, Point West Subdivision. So those are some of the areas in town. They're the more rural residential areas in town. These areas generally contain larger lots in a rural atmosphere and can typically support a larger accessory building without a concern for impact on neighboring properties. The R1, R2, R3 zones are the areas in town which are subdivisions, which include Kingsbridge, Gulfview, Monopoly, Crown Ridge, and the downtown core residential areas of town as well, with smaller lots in a more urban setting. The next amendment for council's consideration this evening is consideration to limit the number of driveways in residential zones. This amendment was recommended by Public Works Department for consideration. There have been several requests in the last couple of years for multiple driveways in residential zones. This section of the bylaw required review and consideration after concerns regarding really the number of curb cuts and sight lines that the manager of roads discussed with the planning department. For rural residential properties, which generally have larger frontages, and where a horseshoe type of driveway may provide additional vehicular safety, these areas are often zoned R1A. The amending bylaw will permit two driveways based on a minimum of 30 meters of frontage along the street line. For the remainder of the residential zones, one driveway will be permitted. I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding these two proposed amendments if council has any.
Okay, but before we do, I guess I'll go to the public for comments. Is there anyone in the public who has any comments or questions? Okay, then I will move to council, and I will just ask that we try out the rules as I sent them out. We can start with questions as there's no limits, and then we can go back around for comments. Councilor Melosh, you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rebecca, how does that affect individuals or residential people who live on county roads? Because I know I applied for a second driveway told me, but they require 100, minimum of 100 feet in order to have two driveways. And I see we're going with minimum of 30 meters or 90, whatever, some feet. So is that, again, I'll go back, how does that affect the county resident, the county road residents?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Our bylaw will also be recommending a minimum of 30 meters, 100 feet, for two residential driveways. And in the R1A areas, that opportunity will be provided. And so that'll be consistent with the county's requirements. But individuals living on county roads will have to go to the county first to also obtain their approval and county access permit as necessary.
So then they'll have to come back, they would still have to come back to the municipality as well then?
Yes, just to check for zoning conformity, but the conformity with our zoning will be in existence of that.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Council Pooja?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our planner, Rebecca. Rebecca, for the second part of it regarding the driveways, and I know one instance where someone did not have permission, they got a curb cut, they have two, sometimes three driveways, cars all over the front yard, and so will this be grandfathered in? Like, will the person that has been doing this illegally all the way along, will that person be entitled now to apply for this new, really the way it stands right now, I don't even think that would apply to their home. And so what my question is, if anyone is, it has a couple driveways that they shouldn't have, will they be grandfathered in because they already have them? Or will this new bylaw apply to them too?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, for a zoning conformity in our zoning bylaw at this point, we have a conformity date of 2000. So it would depend on the timing for people's conformity. But that's the application of the bylaw, the town zoning bylaw. And also, if there's a concern, someone would need to put in a complaint if they felt that's necessary.
Mm-hmm. And the first part of it, I remember when our previous council, we were very concerned about the fact that we wanted to have more accessory buildings on smaller lots. And we were very much against it for the most part. And I'm concerned if we go this a new route that it's just going to be like, we were trying to stay away from the Toronto, the bigger municipality situation. We were trying to keep this small town ambiance where we were going to have a lot of accessory buildings on smaller lots. And so is this setting us back to what the original plan was?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm looking to make an improvement at this point. Because at this point, the bylaw only requires any 10% of the lot area for accessory buildings. So at this point, people that have anywhere in any residential zone, whether it's in a subdivision, they're coming in with the building permit application, and they can build accessory buildings up to 10% of the lot area. So I'm looking to make an improvement for those areas that are zoned R1, R2, R3, the more urban type setting, that we restrict the size of their accessory buildings to 1,076 square feet so that they can't build very large accessory buildings in the urban setting.
Council Milosh, another question?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So someone wanting to build a garage, a separate garage, that would be an additional building, an accessory building, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So could they circumvent that rule by making it an attached to their house, making it an attached garage now? So now it becomes part of the main structure?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, They can attach it to their house, and the application of lot coverage at whatever it is for that zone would then apply, whether it be 30% or 35%, it will be applied to their overall lot coverage. So.
Thank you.
Okay, any Councillor Courtney?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you to Rebecca. Rebecca, somebody who's building a pool house, okay, so they have their pool quite a ways from their house, and then they're building a pool house. How do these rules apply to that?
A pool house would also be applicable as an accessory building as well. So we would include that in the calculation for accessory buildings too.
Any other questions? Okay, then I'm looking for a motion. Councillor Melange?
I'll move the recommendation.
And second? Councillor Pouget, is there any comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to 3.2.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Administration is proposing that Council consider an approach for regulating the use of shipping containers within the municipality and potential changes to any pertinent zoning regulations within Zoning Bylaw 1999-52. Administration receives regular inquiries regarding the placement of shipping containers on private land. The provisions in the current zoning bylaw do not provide sufficient clarity regarding shipping containers, and there is presently no definition of shipping container in the zoning bylaw. The Building Department and Bylaw Enforcement have been informed of shipping containers present on several properties throughout the town. The town finalized the community strategic plan last year, which identified four strategic outcomes of the community consultation process. Under Pillar 2, the preparation of urban design guidelines was listed as a priority initiative to preserve heritage within the town of Amherst. The increase in the use of and popularity of shipping containers for both building components and storage purposes has presented regulatory challenges for municipalities. Administration has historically treated shipping containers in a similar manner to transport trailers and accessory buildings. When considering the regulatory approach to shipping containers, there are two categories of potential use: shipping containers as potential building components and as accessory storage units. Each of these comes with unique regulatory and policy implications. When placed on the land, to be permanent and no longer used for shipping purposes, the Ontario Building Code interprets a shipping container as a building. Accordingly, they're subject to the same requirements and limitations as permanent buildings. Having stated that, they can only be used in the same manner as permitted through the zoning bylaw and must observe all zoning regulations, similar in lot coverage, lot line setback requirements, and so on. Some of the issues when using shipping containers may include potential for rusting, lack of insulation, loss of structural integrity when they're modified. A number of additional constraints were noted in the report to Council this evening. One of the primary concerns related to shipping containers as accessory units is one of aesthetics. In recent years, shipping containers have become more readily available to rent. On a temporary basis, they are most commonly used when moving or during construction or renovation projects. While a shipping container may be available as a non-habitable accessory structure within to store goods, that in itself does not mean it's desirable from a neighborhood aesthetic perspective. It is a generally accepted principle that built form in commercial districts significantly contributes to what comprises in the community's character. These districts not only serve for the purpose of places of commerce and provision of services, but also become important gathering places for the community. The report to Council provided an analysis of planning policies supporting and protecting the commercial and residential vistas and heritage character of Amherstburg. As part of the background research, the Planning Division summarized other municipalities in the region, how they're regulating shipping containers. A summary chart was attached to your report this evening. Given the above, it is felt that regulatory oversight is advisable to control the location, fire safety, and use of shipping containers in the municipality. Specific regulations in the zoning bylaw and the requirement for building permits would address issues noted above, including structural safety, the ground sinking where the container is located, wind resistance, snow loading, risk of uplift, proper anchorage, and zoning bylaw conformity. This notice of public meeting was published in the newspaper and circulated to agencies as required. FERC has submitted correspondence which stated that it is our understanding from the circulation that shipping containers will not be permitted on a permanent basis in zones other than for industrial and agricultural use. We note that although these shipping containers would be regarded as temporary movable structures, we would not permit the placement of the containers near any areas subject to flooding or erosion hazards. A permit from this office may be necessary for the placement of shipping containers within the limit of the regulated area under our jurisdiction. At the time of the preparation of this report, no comments from the public or other departments were received. It is recommended that a clear, strong approach be taken toward prohibiting shipping containers on a permanent basis as storage units in areas of the town other than industrial zones and potential agricultural areas as determined by the farming community. There are many other alternative storage structures available, such as sheds and detached garages, which are better suited for residential neighborhoods and commercial areas. The need for maintaining the aesthetic character of the town outweighs the benefit of using shipping containers for storage purposes. On a temporary storage basis, during a move, the regulations will provide setbacks, proper spatial separation, safe sight lines, and a maximum number of containers and restriction in duration. It is finally recommended that the information contained within this report, along with any comments received from the public, be summarized and brought back at a future council meeting, along with the draft bylaw for council's consideration.
Okay, is there any comments from the public? Okay, seeing none, questions from council? Okay, seeing none, motion, I guess. Councilor Melosh?
I'll make a motion to receive and the zoning bylaw be considered.
Thank you. Second, Councilor Cluge. Any comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. Brings us to 3.3.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The final matter for Council's consideration this evening is a modification to the parking space requirements for miniature golf course uses in the zoning bylaw. Other municipal zoning bylaws were compared regarding parking provisions for miniature golf course requirements. The town's current requirement identifies 1.5 parking spaces per T. And it appears that one parking space per T appears to be more consistent with the requirements in other municipal zoning bylaws, although the bylaws range in how they address parking for a miniature golf course use. One bylaw, as an example, required 20 parking spaces, which would mean one per hole plus two extra spaces. Furthermore, those attending a golf course in a vehicle often play through the course together, and therefore creating the requirement for one parking space per tee. It is also noted for Council's consideration this evening that a miniature golf course use is often associated with other land uses on a property, which require the calculation of parking spaces, including a restaurant, shop, camping facilities, providing the supplemental parking spaces on a property. It is recommended that a zoning bylaw amendment be directed for approval at a future regular council meeting, pending the outcome of this public meeting. A report summarizing any comments will be brought back for council's consideration as well.
Thank you. Is there any comments from the public? Okay, seeing none, questions from council? Okay, motion, Councilor Fryer?
I'll move the motion recommendation.
Thank you. Second? Councilor Levine, any comments? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor? Carried. this motion to adjourn. Councilor Levine, second. Councilor Milosh, all those in favor? Carried.